I'm Erin Fairbanks, reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're checking in with our food community to see how everyone is holding up in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. I'm here with Ivy Mix, co-founder of Speed Rack and bartender from Clover Club, located in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. So can you give us a little bit of an update on kind of how you guys have been responding to the storm?
Sure. Basically, what's been going on is that, a little background on me. I started a all-female bartending competition called Speed Rack, and I did a show with Damon a while back, kind of explaining what that was and what we do. And we were supposed to have our New York event on Sunday and had to cancel it because of Hurricane Sandy. I also am from Vermont originally, and Hurricane Irene devastated where I was from. I mean, I have friends' houses who were taken away, farms that are no longer able to be worked because there's so much sand from the river on the ground. So I know what it's like to have, I've seen it before. And I guess what I've been doing is I woke up after it all happened, and my first priority was to go down to Red Hook, Brooklyn. I worked at a bar there called Fort Defiance for a while. So I woke up, I got in my sister's car and drove down to Red Hook and realized the vast difference between my reality in Crown Heights, which was a few down trees, and I lost internet for a few hours, and what was going on in Red Hook, which was just devastation. My old regulars from when I worked at Fort Defiance were just trying to pull stuff out of their basements. People were trying to steal scrap metal from other people's basements they could sell it and make some money. There was no power. There was no heat. At that point, it was a little bit more warm. But I really just kind of got this idea of how different it was. So I helped it in Red Hook for a day or two until it kind of got to the point where there was really nothing else I could do, because at this point, at least in many places, specialists are what are needed, electricians and plumbers and all the rest of it. So then I decided that I was going to cook, because if there's one thing that people I knew needed, it was hot food, because it was getting so cold. So I went and started making some food, and the issue was, though, that no one would take it. I went to all these organized relief efforts, and I said, here, I have all this hot, delicious, nutritious food, like a lot, not a lot, a little, I mean tons. And I would take it, feed people who are cold, and they said, no, we actually can't take that because of this and that regulation, or no, we just won't take that. So I ended up, on one occasion, going out and actually, out of the back of Todd Richmond's car, just setting up hot food and serving it to people outside of the project in Red Hook at like 7 o'clock at night on, I think it was Saturday or something like that. Anyway, it was pitch black. It was crazy. So we did that, and then I gave blood one day. And then I had another day where Speed Rack got people together who would have been at Speed Rack or would have been kind of with us on Sunday. And on Monday, we worked with Food Not Bombs and made a whole bunch of more food and then delivered it to Coney Island to deliver to lots of the older people who are stuck there in their houses with no access. I mean, lots of people who are in wheelchairs. The elevators aren't working, and we delivered hot food to be taken to them to eat.
Wow. So, you know, I think you really hit on some points that we haven't been hearing too much of, it, which is like the real need for there to be kind of a differentiated levels of ways for people to contribute. I mean, it must have been so frustrating to show up with the food and to really want to kind of be engaged in the relief effort and to be turned away.
It's frustrating. I mean, I'm all so very excited that people like to volunteer. I mean, who doesn't think that that's a great thing? It's definitely excellent. But there are some really indignant, self-righteous people out there who are just kind of like ego feeders, for lack of a better word. And not to say that's a bad thing, they're out there, but it's just not conducive to an efficient work system, you know? So I frequently would be somewhere and I would just be looking, like, okay, here I am. And it became apparent to me that if I put up on Facebook and said, because I, like I said, I'm from a tiny town in central Vermont, and where I come from, everyone is a, they work in trade. I know plumbers, electricians. So I put up on Facebook, hey, I can't help in Red Hook anymore, but I bet you you can. Who here wants to come and stay in my house in Brooklyn for 4 days? I'll pay your way down here, and you go work in Red Hook for free and help people who don't have any power or who can't fix their hot water heater or, you know, all this. I think that's really important for people to start thinking about doing. I mean, there's only so much hot food that can go cold, you know?
Sure.
We need to start thinking long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that those are some really great suggestions. I mean, anywhere else that you, in particular, kind of in your experience, that you might direct people who have some energy and want to think creatively about contributing to the relief effort now? Anything you've heard from your time out on the streets that you'd want to share with folks?
I would definitely say, 99% actually is doing some work in Far Rockaway that's pretty incredible. It's not state funded. It's totally going rogue. And Rockaway's pretty messed up right now. The thing about it is lots of the places that need the most help are impossible to get to. Staten Island is ridiculous. I haven't been to Staten Island yet. I have known people who have gone, but it's really pretty bad. I mean, just totally devastated. And what people need are people like contractors and things like that. But even if people can just go and contact the state, like in Coney Island, people were contacting the state and going door to door to make sure that people were okay. Like all these people who are stuck in these homes, asking them, have you gotten your medication? You know, and then they fill out a form, and then these people will then get medications to them. So that's literally just as easy as going to the state. And this New York Cares, I think, is how it goes. Or Jason Luttrell with USBG is absolutely, hands down, my hero in all of this. He has organized the masses and is basically has a whole army of people going every which way every day to help. So people can go to usbg.org and contact him, or it's the New York chapter of the USBG. And he's got a whole application form you can fill out based on what time of day you can help, if you have a car, where you can go. And he will literally just email you and say, hey, can you go here this day? And if you can, you go, and then you help. And it's, yeah, he definitely gets the gold star for sure.
That's great. I think we're going to have him on a little later today. One kind of final question. You know, I know that one of the things that people have been talking about in the response to the storm is the number of people who are, you know, lost a week's or more worth of wages, in particular in the restaurant and retail community. And, you know, I'm just curious if you've heard anything on that end on how people are faring, or do mostly people just feel lucky to that's like the extent of their losses?
I mean, yes, I think people say, oh, thank God I only lost, you know, a job. I didn't lose my house. But there are lots of efforts being done, fundraisers happening, especially all over the country. I mean, they're happening in Texas, Boston, all over the place, that people are actually gathering money and raising money for these people who are now out of a job, who maybe lost something in their house too, who can't, you know, now are totally screwed, no job, no house, no nothing. So we're trying to raise funds, not necessarily me, actively so much, but I'm involved with trying to organize some events here in which we basically have a night at a bar, promote it, and have half the proceeds go to people who, you know, need to pay their cell phone bills or now don't have a job. There's also people in Red Hook when I was down there who are trying to figure out basically like a shift trade initiative with people who might be able to give up a shift, you know. Restaurants that, you know, can sign up, or someone can sign up with the discretion of their boss and say, hey, I don't want to work this shift, but can so-and-so from Coney Island work my shift? You know, would that be okay? And I think that that's in the works of becoming a more concrete plan, because this isn't going away. And I think that's the key thing for people to remember. Last week was not an extended vacation. This is going to affect us for a very long time, if not forever, especially the people whose jobs have been lost and which businesses have been messed up. So I think it's important to try to figure out some sort of network. It just needs to be ironed out a little bit more.
Wow. So I'm here with Jason Luttrell, local chapter leader of the USBGNY. Jason, how has your community been holding up in the aftermath of the storm?
Well, I'm really honored to be a part of this huge heart. The we've all pulled together. We are helping strangers, and strangers are helping us. It's pretty amazing.
So for those of us who may not be familiar with the USBGNY, what exactly is your organization, and what do you guys do?
Well, it's basically it's a not-for-profit resource for bartenders. It's just a conglomerate of people who help each other. We have a lot of education resources. We have a lot of fun.
That sounds great. So in response to the storm, what has the community been up to?
Well, there are a lot of initiatives in place right now. We're looking at Coney Island very closely. We're looking at the Rockaways. We're looking at Red Hook. We're looking at the East Village. And we're looking especially at South Street Seaport. These are things that we're very concerned about. Our primary initiative is to get bartenders working again. That is the primary goal of all of our efforts.
And so, I mean, that is a subject that's come up a few times, people kind of being out of work and having really no other source of income. So what are kind of operationally some of the steps that you can do to get some of these people behind the bar again?
Well, while we're still assessing the damage, we're kind of just allocating our volunteer hours to these different neighborhoods, to these different places. As the dust settles, figuratively speaking, of course, we'll find out exactly where the needs are going to be. Again, our primary initiative is to get bartenders working again. So that means that getting bars back in action, bars open. Now that they have power and transportation is moving along slowly but consistently, we will get people back to work.
And how have you guys been communicating with your members throughout the storm?
I got to give big ups to Facebook. Facebook and Twitter have been very, very good to us. It's a centralized location where we can post things, and they're sticky. People can see them from around the country. And again, our national network of within the Guild has been remarkably supportive. We're talking in the ballpark of $20,000 raised.
Wow, that's great. So maybe you can kind of, if you can kind of share with us some of the firsthand experiences that you've heard about from your members and their response kind of during the blackout. I know we heard several bars kind of were able to go back line and still provide service, and people maybe were able to get up and running a little bit faster because there was fewer kind of perishable products. But are there any stories that have come across your desk that really stuck out to you as kind of indicative of the response of your community to the storm?
We feel that every opportunity to help is very, very special. We started with Evelyn. Evelyn was on a 11th and C, and they allowed us to go in there and to work on the bar. And we were literally bailing water, hundreds of gallons of water. We were just bailing it out of the basement. There are so many stories about this kind of thing. We just went to Red Hook, and we just started to activate. We're not talking about bars and restaurants here anymore. We're talking about the community. It was definitely our honor to be a part of that.
And what can you give some examples of the type of work you were doing?
There's nothing beneath us. We have literally scraped shit off the floor. We have broken down drywall. We've hung drywall. We've done everything. We've just handed out MREs in Coney Island. There's nothing that we have said no to.
And if people were looking to get involved either with your organization or with some other type of relief efforts, are there any places in particular that you would direct them?
Yeah, Red Hook Initiative is a very, very good resource. Just appearing in places that, when you see that the street lights are out, that's where you should be if you want to volunteer. But the National Guard has been wonderful. The local governments have been pretty incredible. Red Cross is there somewhere. I don't know.
Sure.
But if your mind is thinking about being involved, then that's a lot. That means a lot. Just thinking about this kind of thing is a lot. And then your feet will follow your brain.
And if people want to, you know, follow your work or look to support the organization in the weeks and months to come, where can they get more information on you guys?
Twitter is the most active thing. That's where we update things moment to moment. But our Facebook page is also a good resource.
Awesome. Jason, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to give us the update and share some of the response from the bartending community. And we look forward to kind of following the recovery in the weeks and months to come.
Thank you so much, Erin.
Take care. Follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio or on Facebook, Heritage Radio Network, for updates and more info on the response to Superstorm Sandy.